Hello and welcome to Let the Stones Speak. My name is Christopher Eames and I'll be your host for today's program. We're back at it. We're here on the Ophel, about to begin the first of at least two, possibly three excavations this year. And this particular excavation that we're just about to begin is an especially important one. This is an area in which I'm standing, variously referred to as the Solomonic Gatehouse, the Royal Bakery, the Royal Treasury, depending on whom you talk to, or at very least the Royal Quarter, the hub of the ancient biblical kingdom of Judah. This site is very special. It has been referred to by one individual from the Israel Antiquities Authority as the most important site in all Israel. That's because this is right at the nexus, right in the hub of the administration of the biblical kingdom of Israel or of Judah. So this site in particular that I'm standing within, this was excavated by Dr. Elat Mazar way back in 1986 together with her grandfather. They co-directed this area, excavating this area. Dr. Elat Mazar returned to this area in 2009 and 2010 with our help. And this is the first time since 2010 that we'll be returning to this particular important area, this area that she identified as a gatehouse here. We have the most complete chamber off to my right. And based on the material remains, she dated this to the Solomonic period. Now, as with anything in archaeology, there's going to be a lot of debate about the dating. Is this 10th century? Is this 9th century? Even about the nature of this as a gatehouse. But these are all questions we'll hopefully be answering, be putting to bed as we progress with our excavations. So again, this is the first time we're coming back to the site in 10 years. If you've been following us, you will know of our ongoing summer excavations. That's actually up a little bit higher in a Herodian period or early Roman period structure further up on the Ophel, but this is further down right in the heart of biblical kingdom period Judah. So this'll start out a little bit smaller than our other excavations, and it'll mainly concentrate on the northern end of the gatehouse with these large Byzantine walls right behind me. We'll be removing some of these walls to expose the full continuation of these earlier iron 2A walls going underneath. And we'll be doing some various other jobs in this area, helping to clean it up and helping to prepare it for restoration to really show prominently the nature of this grand Iron Age structure to tourists, to the public who will be visiting. So we'll be undertaking this excavation under the direction of Professor Yosef Garfinkel of Hebrew University. Now, just before Dr. Elat Mazar died 4 years ago, she turned her legacy over to Professor Yosef Garfinkel, another of the great Iron Age archaeologists, and told him, when you excavate these areas of mine, you need to bring in the Armstrong crew, the Armstrong Institute of Biblical Archaeology. We've got a history with Dr. Mazar going right back to her grandfather, Professor Benjamin Mazar, back in 1968. So we're very excited to be excavating now for the first time with Professor Yosef Garfinkel and seeing where this relationship continues to take us. So for today's program, we'll actually have an interview with my colleague and good friend, Brent Nagtegale. He'll be explaining a little bit of the history of this site, our connection with this site, excavating the site. And as ever, if you like this material, like and subscribe. And right now we'll go over to our interview with Brent.
Brent, it's great to see you again. Thanks for joining us for this program. We are very sorry that you're not able to make it in person for this excavation, but you have very much been behind the scenes in helping to put this effort together. So perhaps from the outset, could you talk a little bit about that process, about how things have come together for this excavation to start?
Yeah, so this excavation, we've kind of been in discussions about it for about 2 years now. And the endeavor is to prepare this area of ancient Jerusalem, the Ophel, for opening it up to the tourists in a way that they can see the ancient remains from biblical Jerusalem more clearly. And so we're working with the Israel Antiquities Authority, the East Jerusalem Development Company, National Parks Authority, working alongside our partners, Daniel Mintz and Meredith Berkman, the Armstrong Institute, that is, and to bring together a plan to highlight the Iron Age remains, the period of the biblical kings in this area of the UFL. And there are some other walls that from later periods that kind of obstruct that view and make it very difficult for visitors to come to what is arguably the most important site, not just in Jerusalem, but not just in Israel, but specifically in Jerusalem, to see the grandeur of this, the period of biblical kings. And so there's a few Byzantine period walls that we would like to remove. And the whole Davidson Center Archaeological Park here, it's huge. It's about 8 acres. It's a huge excavation site that's open to the public, where all different periods of remains are available for people to view, whether it's the Islamic period, the Byzantine period, the period of Jesus, Herod's time, and a few others in between. And yet when it gets to the period of the biblical kings, there's only half an acre of the 8 that is actually where you have actual large-scale preservation that's open to the public, and it's in this area. And so the goal is to highlight that in this specific area, and to do that, there's 5 or 6 Byzantine period walls that are going to be removed. So that's the excavation, removing some of these walls to then highlight the earlier remains and then restore the earlier remains so that they can, the height of some of these walls, so that people can get the sense of the monumentality of Jerusalem in this time period.
Yeah, I remember going on a tour of that site with you leading the tour and quite a high up archaeologist being there. And he didn't understand much of the lay of the area, and you had to clarify many of the things in that area. And I remember him saying just like, the fact that tourists going down there, seeing all these different walls from different periods, they wouldn't have a chance to try and understand and get the full picture of what's going on there. So like you say, it is very important to highlight and reconstruct and excavate where necessary to highlight the specific period. So you do have, I would say, quite a bit of experience in this area, excavating yourself in this area. So perhaps to start out, you could talk a little bit about your history of excavation in this particular area, or if you'd like to talk a little bit more broadly, your own history with excavating with Dr. Eilat Mazar.
Yeah, so Eilat Mazar was, she died in 2021, but she's the lady that we've worked with for so long in Jerusalem since 2006 at all of the excavation sites, alongside partnering with her on her digs, and she excavated this area with us in 2009 and 10. That excavation was sponsored by Daniel Mintz and Meredith Berkman, a couple from New York that really believe in the history of Jerusalem and wanting to highlight that. But my history goes back a few years before that with her excavating Jerusalem at the large stone structure and the stepstone structure in 2006, 7, and 8, where I was just a volunteer for the first 6 months excavation. Which is just crazy, the amount of excavating that she did. I mean, our excavations in the summer with Professor Liebner, they have 3 or 4, 5 weeks, which is typical. But when she got a license to dig Jerusalem, she really valued it. And we're going to dig as much as we can in the time allotted. And so we did some massive digs there, the large stone structure, which is what she labeled King David's Palace. So I worked with them there and stayed in Israel for about 2 years. Working alongside her, working the office, publishing discoveries, and then started being a supervisor on the digs there. And then 2009 and 10 was actually this little intermediate phase. It was only going to be an 8-week excavation where we moved from the City of David in the south towards the Temple Mount Wall. And basically from where the tourist center is, if you've been to Jerusalem for the City of David, halfway between there and the southern wall of the Temple Mount is where this portion of the Ophel area is, where we excavated 2009 and 10. And so I excavated a little bit, about 30 meters or so to the north of the gatehouse area, just outside the fortification wall, an area that dated mainly to the 8th century BC, a lot of debris and the area where the Hezekiah Bulla of King Hezekiah and Isaiah was discovered. But it's very familiar. What was
found it yourself?
Possibly. I mean, there was only a couple of us, me and Holly Breath from the college, that were excavating in that area. We missed it. So we found it wet sifting, unfortunately. Well, what's interesting is the Isaiah Bulla. I mean, there was a little bit of an area, just about a meter by a meter, that was left from Kathleen Kenyon's excavations in the 60s in this area. And the Isaiah Bulla was actually, we decided to sift absolutely everything, even the areas that other archaeologists would typically just chop off because it's right next to, adjacent to the corrupted material. And they'll say, well, let's just take a little slither of that and just put it with the corrupted material. We still sifted these little areas. It was in one of those potentially corrupted areas where we found the Isaiah Bulla. So we got in lucky there. But even during that excavation, the area supervisor for the gatehouse passageway. So this is, and I'll put gatehouse in quotes right now. Dr. Eilat Mazar believed this was a gatehouse. I think it's still personally the best reconstruction, but this is part of the excavation. What we're going to do is really to try and discover the function, if we can, of this building, and we'll follow where the science leads there. But that's definitely the central passageway. Had a lime floor, a crushed limestone floor. That was excavated in 2009 and 10, and the area supervisor was gone for a week, so I took over the area supervising for this area for at least part of the excavation back then. And then after this dig, I was a supervisor in her excavations in 2012, 13, and so on. But it's really exciting to go back to this area. It is amazing, actually, just doing a bit more research into the excavation periods for this site, how delayed the digs were, even though there was a driving force to get this site done early, like in the 80s or in the early 90s. It couldn't take place till 2009 and 10, and now till 2025.
Right. So why don't you talk us through a bit of that history of investigation, shall we say, and excavation, going back, you know, beyond the past century, really.
Right.
Talk us through that history for this particular site.
Yeah, so it goes back to 1867, when Sir Charles Warren, one of the famous early pioneers of archaeology, mine shaft archaeology, we could call it, digging these massive mine shafts and going down and horizontally digging underground. And he was just amazing at what he did at such a young age. I don't even think he was 30 yet, or around that was when he did this. He wanted to dig elsewhere, but he wasn't allowed to because the Ottomans were in charge and didn't want the Temple Mount being dug up by this foreigner, understandably so. And so he dug south of the Temple Mount wall and tried to follow the fortification line on the eastern side of the city of Jerusalem, just south of the southern wall of the Temple Mount. And so he excavated this area in 1867, not the inner gatehouse area, what we all call, but the outer, what he called the Great Tower and the Extra Tower. We'll show these on screen, but he was able to draw this just massive preservation of these huge walls that we don't have conclusive dating for, but they're basically on the outside of the inner chambers that you're going to be investigating here. And this is preservation going about 80 feet high is what he found, because this is right on the edge of the cliff, right? Here in the Jerusalem in the north, people don't know this, but Jerusalem is surrounded on the eastern side, and before you get to the Kidron Valley, by a cliff of bedrock. Like, it's not the slow descent of bedrock. It's a literal straight down drop. And so this 20 meter high preservation is as it starts to drop towards this cliff. So you could, the slope here is amazingly steep. And so right as it starts to flatten out is where you'll be investigating, where these gate chambers are. He excavated maybe another 10 meters to the east, which is where it was already dropping down. So that was 1867. Go ahead.
And just on that, that's an incredible preserved height that you're talking about for an Iron Age structure. Like, debate about whatever dating aside, for an Iron Age structure in Israel, that's surely got to be one of the tallest.
If people have been to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, the Kotel, and the height at which people are, if you're there praying and you look up, that preserved height of the Western Wall from ground level as it exists today is the same height as the preservation as it exists today, not even as it was back, you know, in the biblical period. That's the preservation that exists underneath the Ophel Road there. So absolutely phenomenal, but from 1,000 years before Herod.
Boy. Okay, so we've got Charles Warren, and then where is the next step in this journey?
Yeah, and then the huge excavation opened up for Israeli excavation following the Six-Day War in this area, and Benjamin Mazar at Ambassador College, with Mr. Armstrong leading that effort, they engaged in a partnership for 10 years, beginning in the end of 1968, to excavate this whole area south of the Temple Mount Wall, everything from Robertson's Arch from the southwest corner all the way to the eastern side. And they began there in the southwest corner of the Temple Mount and discovering Robertson's Arch, the street and the shops, and just huge preservation from Herod's time or thereafter. And eventually, by 1974, 6 years later, they get finally to the eastern Ophel. And this is the only place where they began to find Iron Age remains, remains in Jerusalem from the first temple period. So it was hard for them. Basically, in those excavations, they didn't reach the very bottom of the structure, but they did reach the destruction from the Nebuchadnezzar Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 586. They reached that layer. And it was like 1974, and the health of Benjamin Mazar was starting to deteriorate at that time. The excavations would continue for another couple of years, but they kind of left this area in 74, 75. And there was a lot. This area of Jerusalem, it's not, you know, one period, right? You've got to peel off all these different layers from later periods. And then even when you hit, like, the Babylonian destruction, you've got good old King Herod, great builder of everything in Israel and great destroyer of previous remains. He builds on bedrock right alongside the earlier remains, digs his big footing walls down into the earlier remains, puts his footing there and builds above. And so there was a lot of early Roman period remains in this same area alongside the Iron Age remains. And that's the way that they left it in 1974, 75, in that period. Then Eilat Mazar, for her master's thesis, she was a budding archaeologist. She was only 11, 12, 13 years of age during those excavations in the 70s, or early 70s. Or what. And she wasn't really a functioning archaeologist on the site. She did come and help her grandfather in this area. But she, for her master's thesis at Hebrew University, wanted to really research the history of investigation of this very specific area. So nobody knows this area better than she does, as far as what's been found there previously and what and those excavations in 1974 and onwards. And so she knew that there would be a greater chance to find more. So she started an excavation with her grandfather. This was her first dig that she led in 1986, and then a short season in 1987, re-examining the site, peeling back some of these Herodian period, Byzantine period remains. And that continued to be her master's thesis that was overseen by Avigad, a great excavator of the Jewish quarter. And that master's thesis, a lot of that, or at least some of that from this area, was published in Kedem 29 in 1989. And that was kind of, at that point, through that excavation, that's when they found the widespread destruction layer from the Babylonian period. They found these massive pithos, these huge storage vessels with a few different inscriptions at this time that were able to excavate down through the two floor layers that are discovered in the gatehouse area and then a royal structure adjacent to it, discovering some of the earliest remains that had been discovered in Jerusalem through this. And it was published in Kedem 29.
Okay, so for this progression that we've got, basically you have the discovery of a huge tower fortification wall in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. Then by the 70s, you've got the discovery of the very first of the Iron Age remains of the inside of the building. And then you're saying in the late 80s, you've got the investigation of that and the discovery of what, like you said, Dr. Mazar and Benjamin Mazar believed to be the gatehouse itself.
Right.
So that's where it left off in 1986, 1987. And then it's a while, right, before they go back to the site. And so when is that, and what do we learn from that next excavation there?
Yeah, so the methods obviously improve as time goes on, even from the 80s. And it should be said that in 86, 87, this is the first time that they could start to see what the structure looked like, the inner structure looked like. And that's when they laid for the first time the inner structure alongside what Warren drew. And it was from that that they kind of got the picture of a projecting tower and inner gatehouse. And so as time went forward, Dr. Bazar was like, I wanted to excavate this in like 1989, 1990. And it took 25. She was 25 years. She was surprised before she got she had the time, finished her doctoral thesis, but then also got the funding to excavate this in 2009 and 10. And when you come, I think every archaeologist would love this opportunity to go back to the same site 20 years later with some parts that were deliberately left to excavate in the future, with technology advancing and with the questions that you have unanswered. Like we didn't quite get the information we needed to answer a certain question, but we have some remains at the site still. So let's go and do that. And so that's what she did in 2009 and 10. And particularly this helped with the dating of the site because she was able to excavate through the central passageway, which is a limestone floor with chambers either side of it that went all the way down to bedrock. And we've got an article up on our website. We published it, I wrote it in 2022. And it kind of goes through what she discovered and why the necessity to excavate in 2009 and 10 to establish the dating of this building. And this is the big argument, right? Since this time, when they excavate 86, 87, nobody really debates, Solomonic Jerusalem or the 10th century in Israel. David and Solomon, they're considered the great builders. Everyone in the 60s and 70s considered Solomon a great builder throughout Israel. Those remains that dated to his period. There's no real debate. But since through this intervening period from 86 to 87, all the way through to the renewed excavation 2009 and 10, everyone's debating. Is it Solomon or is it 60 or 70 years after Solomon? And so now we're, and that's hard. It's hard to, the wit, how do you date that? Carbon dating's, at the time, carbon dating, I think, has come a long way, even since maybe 10, 15 years ago. But there was that was kind of helping to clear up this window of construction of these different places in Israel. Pottery dating was starting to become even a little bit more nuanced. With the discovery of Kibbutz Kayafa in 2005, 6, and 7, which really did establish what 10th century Judean, 11th, 10th century Judean pottery looked like. So the tools that Dr. Mazar had to look at the dating of the site in 2009 and 10 were better than 86 and 87. And so she was able to excavate again, and she revised some of her dating from the site from the early 9th century back into the 10th century based on what she found in certain areas of the dig site. I mean, this will probably continue. The problem with Jerusalem is there's no destruction from whenever it was built up during the time of the biblical kings, David, Solomon, or the next one, whatever you want, through till the big destruction in the mid-8th century with the big earthquake of Amos's time. And so you've got buildings that have been used for 200 years on the same floor sometimes. And so the typical dating of a site is what's the stuff under the floor? What's the stuff on top of the floor? And that gives you a window of construction for the building. Well, the stuff on top of the floor has been used for 200 years. And maybe that floor was kind of redone a couple of times. It's called the old house effect. You run into the problem at different sites. And this is the problem we run into here. And that's why it's a little bit more debate over it. But the article I bring out, it shows different people's theories. Israel Finkelstein's ideas about the dating of the area. He didn't excavate the site, but he's got his ideas about how it dates. And then Ariel Vinderbaum, both doctorates, he worked as an area supervisor in 2009 and 10 of the area just outside or adjacent to touching these chambers. He dates the lower portion to the 10th century and then the upper portion a little bit later. And then I look back at the reasoning of both of these individuals alongside Dr. Mazar's in this article that people can go to.
Okay, so that's great. Yeah, as you say, I was explaining to some of the students that will be joining us just how difficult Jerusalem is, why there is so much debate about Jerusalem, because there's nothing better for an archaeologist than a good thick destruction layer that seals everything underneath and that you can get organic remains and this type of thing to date with. But for Jerusalem, you've got this lack of these destruction layers, and it's great at the time they escaped some of these destructions, but as far as going back and dating, like, you're missing the classic Shishak level destruction, Shawshank destruction, Jerusalem is spared. You're missing that Sennacherib destruction level. Again, Jerusalem is spared. So it's great, obviously, for the time, but when you go back to date that, you don't have that same very clear stratification. So one final question then, where do you see, so what are the exact goals for this particular excavation? You've given us more the broader picture to begin with, developing the site for tourists. Maybe you could speak a little bit more in detail about the precise goals for this particular next few weeks that we'll be undertaking here.
Yeah, so it is important, I think, that Professor Garfinkel is leading this expedition. He's with Hebrew University. He's had a lot of experience over the past 10 years or more now, 15 years, of excavating Iron Age sites. He excavated Kibbutz Kayafa for, I think it was since 2006 or 7, all the way through to 2013. And this is where we have the wealth of 10th century pottery. And we even find, like, one of the critical things they found there at the site was carbon samples that dated to this 1020, 980 region. David, of course, conquering, becoming king, maybe 1010, somewhere in here over Hebron, and then Jerusalem around 1000, something like that. So right in the window of David. And it gave us a great window into what Davidic era pottery looked like. And we find, and one of the things that they found was a lot of these thumb impressions inside the on the storage jars from his time period, as like a really early precursor to administrative, showcasing administrative vessels that belong to the state in Judah. You have those lamellic impressions, rosettes from Josiah's time and later. And so an early precursor that was found at Kayafa, and we actually find those here on the Ophel in the very earliest layers adjacent to the gatehouse. So he's going to be able to bring his knowledge of 10th century, not just early 10th century, because then he went to, well, he had another excavation at Kibbutz Arai, which also had a 10th century layer, but then he also went to Lachish, Tel Lachish. And this is where he found pottery remains from after the United Monarchy, the time period of Rehoboam. And this is based beautifully on brand new carbon samples that some of those are about going to be published soon. Alongside this. And so he's got early 10th century David. He knows the pottery for that. And he knows the pottery for late 10th century Rehoboam at Lachish. And who does the Bible say was the builder of this area? It's Solomon. This is right in between David and Rehoboam. And so I think he's going to be one of the best people to be able to judge this area if a layer from that time period is found, the pottery of Solomon or so on. So he's the right guy for this to really be leading up the publication and the excavations, the director. That said, I think we'll be striking, you'll be striking absolute gold if we do find a layer dated from that time period, because most of what we're doing is the removal of these Byzantine period walls that are obscuring the view or running right over the top of the Iron Age remains. And this isn't like, you know, let's remove these walls and hopefully we'll find the Iron Age walls. You can actually see the Iron Age walls going underneath the Byzantine walls. So those walls will be taken down. And I think what's interesting about that, especially in this area or other sites, the walls that are the stones that are used in construction of later periods were most likely stones that were from the immediate vicinity, right? And so if you're building a Byzantine period wall during the Byzantine time, this is like 300 to 600 in there, AD, CE for people, you're going to be using destruction debris that was there earlier, which is probably from 70 or something like that. So you might be using Roman period destruction layers. Like when the excavations with Professor Liebner, this is what you find. You find Herodian era artifacts in secondary use inside the Byzantine period walls. But what about if you've got a site here where it dates even earlier? So you've got the opportunity to find even earlier architectural elements from the time period of the biblical kings inside the Byzantine period walls. We did this in the Ophel. We found behind me here in this cabinet, actually, I didn't even think about this, but you see a portion of that stone vessel in the corner of that cabinet. This is part of a proteolic capital. One of the capitals stand on top of a column from the Iron Age. This was found on the Ophel right next to this area, and it was found in a later context. So you've got a chance to find those earlier remains and perhaps even inscriptions. Jerusalem, as you know better than anyone, having written the published what was found from the Iron Age, Iron II in Jerusalem, we have monumental inscriptions found in Jerusalem in secondary context, most of them already, and perhaps we could find one in this area since we are digging in the area of Royal Jerusalem. So while we're digging in the Byzantine period, chance for other finds are really high.
Right. Yeah, I was talking about this with Professor Garfinkel, and we both co-authored that paper on the Iron II inscriptions, and he is ready to find some Iron Age inscriptions. He is very excited about it. And yeah, you're right. If you're rebuilding in this area, you're not going to make work for yourself by going elsewhere to get your stones. You're going to be reusing what's in the area. And so he's very excited about the real possibility of perhaps finding some more inscriptions. That was the case in the 80s, just after those excavations in the 70s. They were doing the restoration work in the eastern Ophel area. Mm-hmm. And I think it was within a Byzantine period wall, probably not unlike the walls we'll be taking down. They found on one side a really beautiful, large, monumental Iron Age inscription from the time period of Hezekiah, they believed. So like you say, hopefully we'll find something a little bit earlier than that, but any inscription is just the gold. So, all right, we thank you very much for joining us, Brent, for today's program. Again, we're very sorry we won't be seeing you on the excavation.
Nobody's more sorry about that than me. So you better update me often. I understand there's some sensitivity sometimes if you find something amazing. So I might let you not tell me, but we'll see. Obviously, my heart's there, and my thoughts will be with you. And the team that you've got assembled, Professor Garfinkel, and then yourself assisting him. And then I think we have how many other volunteers from the Institute there, from Armstrong College?
There's seven who have come to join us. So probably closer to 10 to a dozen people total ultimately we'll have for this excavation. So,
And then you're going to remove a lot of these stones from the later walls and keep them somewhere on site. And then almost immediately the Antiquities Authority is going to come in and start using those very stones that potentially could have been part of the earlier Iron Age remains to actually rebuild the Iron Age remains. So this is just going to be a beautiful, beautiful.
It's coming full
method.
Circle.
Full circle, almost 3,000 years later.
Right. Yeah, so we won't be seeing you this time around, but anyone who is able, do go and check out the exhibit that you're at right now in Edmond, Oklahoma. How much longer is it around for? It's this month, is it?
Yeah, so we're open till May 15. And so it's here in Edmond, Oklahoma. It's called Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered. We have this beautiful model back here that our art department produced that showcases what we believe Jerusalem looked like from Solomon's time. We also have artifacts back there that date to the 10th century that were found in this same area that we're talking about on today's program, and several others in other parts of the exhibit as well. It takes about an hour to go through. We're just north of Oklahoma City. You can call and book a tour with one of our guides. I tour guides through, guests through here. And over 13,000 people have come to see this, and which we're really happy about. It's free, and definitely avail yourself. If you're anywhere in the area, I mean, 10th century Jerusalem and Israeli artifacts, BC, 3,000 years ago, That's crazy. It's crazy for this to be here. 10 of these artifacts have never been seen anywhere else in the world before they got seen first here. And even as we're preparing it to go back to Israel, a lot of the museums in Israel are starting to be like, well, I want that piece, I want that piece, and trying to pilfer. They don't belong to us, but it's just interesting how these are really important artifacts, and they're going to go to the Israel Museum, they're going to go to the Antiquities Authority, Bible Lands Museum, and so on. So if you're anywhere in the area, definitely in the next month or so, come out and see this exhibit.
That's great. Thanks very much, Brent. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
No worries, Chris. All the best digging.
Thank you.